my name is Lauren Frieder, and my husband Drew and I are lead pastors at Lift Church. We are on the eastern shore of Maryland. We want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we are believing that you will get a lift of encouragement.
Hey, welcome everybody in person and everybody online. We're so glad that you have joined us here at Lift Church. This will be week four and the concluding week of a series we've been calling What's Next. And before I get into what's next, I just want to tell you a few quick opportunities to share with you guys. Here's one of them that you'll hear in the announcements, but I want to tell you ahead of time. I have met so many people who love Lift Church and love God, and they have told me, man, I'd love to give more, but there's only so much I can give. Now, let me tell you about a really cool opportunity that we are partnering for the next 30 days with a company, with a program called Express Feedback for Good. Some of our overseers' churches have done this, and this is a really cool opportunity to raise upwards of $15,000 to $20,000 without you spending any of your money, okay? Now, it's like, come on, this can't be true. What it is, it's a program where we partnered with this company that wants to share opinions and surveys for good. You can go on this website right here, put this up there. You can either pull out your phone and scan the QR code or text the word building to the number 94,000, and we want to get you connected with the program. When you sign up, they're going to ask you if you want to connect via text or email. And then they will not harass you or sell your information. Everything you share from there on is private and anonymous. And they just might give you an encouragement maybe a week after that, hey, you're doing great, keep going. Here's what happens. Every time you share an opinion on a brand that you already use, like I did one just yesterday on Dick's Sporting Goods. I use that company whenever I need some athletic gear. And it just asks some simple things like, how was your experience? What was great? What was not great? Do you have any comments? Would you recommend? Every piece of feedback takes about 60 seconds, but you earn $2 towards Lift Church's building fund. Now, we love the Regal Theater, and we are so grateful for the Regal Theater, but how many of y'all would love to have a church building of our own? Come on, let me hear you. And listen, we are diligently saving towards that, but this program, without you spending anything but a little bit of your time, can raise upwards to $15,000 to $20,000 for Lift Church's building fund, okay? And so you can only submit 75 responses, which means you can generate $150 towards building a building fund. And once again, your name is not being sold on any sort of information site. Never will it be connected that Drew said this about Dick's Sporting Goods. It's just connected with my demographic feels this way about this brand. There's numbers of them, Chili's, the mall, Uber, Lyft, and different things. Like Lyft with the Y, not with the I. Anyway, if you want to rate Lyft, go on Google and give us a 5-star review. If not, come talk to me. We'll fix it, all right, before you give us... All right, cool. And then next week I'll be starting a brand new series called The Blessed Life, and I believe God wants you to walk in that. The number one stressor through this year, told to us by you guys, 55% of us say that a major stressor in our life is finances and workplace stuff. And so that's so understandable in the midst of the climate we're in, but God has a guaranteed plan no matter what climate we live in. And so I can't wait to share some of those principles with you starting next week. This week, we're closing out the series, What's Next? And what's next is based on the Proverb 29:18 that says this: if people can't see what God's doing, if they're unaware where he's at and what is the next step to take, they just stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are, say that word with me, most blessed. I know, I should have said, repeat those words after me, most blessed. Come on, my bad. I'll get it together, right? Say, get it together, Pastor. Now you're talking back with me, right? Listen, no matter what we go through in life, we can have a most blessed situation, and that is if we are on the pathway to life. You know, many of us who have kids know that if our kids get some sort of doctor's checkup and they're not growing, we would pay attention to that, right? Or if you're seemingly running into dead ends with your job and promotions, we would pay attention to how can I do things better, right? If you're on a sports team and you're not getting enough playing time, if your relationship has seemed to stall, then some of the ladies are going, when's he ever going to put a ring on it, right? We start to look at what could be wrong. And in the same way, we should do that spiritually, right? If we haven't taken any steps closer to God, we need to become aware and say, God, what's next for me? How can I take steps closer to you and find, as scripture says this, as we draw near to God, he draws near to us. And so we need to take those next steps on the path to life. Psalm 16:11, and this is the scripture we've also shared throughout this series. You will show me the way of life, granting me joy in your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. In other words, if you don't have joy and if you don't have pleasure when it comes to your relationship with God, then maybe you've only got a version of religion, and God wants to take you beyond that. He wants you to know he's in love with you, your picture's on his refrigerator, and God has got a plan for you. Amen? Amen. And so we've talked about four steps you can take with God. Every single one of us, online or in person, are somewhere in these four steps. The first one is knowing God. He wants you to know him personally, not just know his church building, not just know his pastors or priests, not just know a message here or there or a YouTube video. He wants you to know him, and you can know him. We'll talk more about that today. Then find freedom. God doesn't want you living your tomorrows hung up by your issues yesterday. And I shared about that last week with the blood of Jesus. He also wants you to discover your purpose and why you're breathing air, and then go out and make a difference. Where are you on this journey? Many people shared last week, we saw around Lift Church between the two experiences, one of the small groups, as well as our Halo Outreach Ministry, over 20 people make a decision for Jesus Christ just last week. Come on, y'all give it up. Mark Williamson went over with two of our worship leaders, and they preached over at the Halo Homeless Shelter, and three or four people made a decision to give their life to Jesus and follow his way. That's what it's all about. Come on, we're helping people get on the way of life. And so I want to share with you this morning about knowing God. I grew up knowing religion. I grew up knowing Sunday morning was for God. I grew up knowing that if I did enough bad and strayed away bad enough, I needed to return to good. That's the version of knowing God I knew. I grew up thinking that if I wore a cross or prayed looking at a cross, God would look more favorably upon me. I knew things of God, but I didn't know God. You can look up a bunch of facts about people nowadays. You can look up their about a feature of Facebook, and you can look up stats about them, but you don't know them, right? Knowing is a relationship. It brings intimacy, and God wants us to know him. But in order to know God, you and I had a problem. We need Jesus. Three reasons why we need Jesus. For some of you, this isn't rocket science, but I want to return you to your roots. For some of you, you've never heard this before, and you need to lean into this message because I believe God wants to do something in your life. Number one, we have all sinned. Somebody say all. All. That means every one of y'all. Come on, I'm from the South. Someone say y'all did it too. Don't point fingers at me. Y'all did it too. Y'all all been sinners. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. In other words, if the standard to get into heaven was a high jump, none of y'all can jump high enough, right? Some of you are like, please, Lord, let it not be a high jump. I am in bad trouble if it's a high jump. No, none of us have been able to live the standard. None of us has been able to do it. We have all fallen short. Sometimes the enemy likes to point fingers at you when you're alone and say, you're the biggest screw up. And I love what Paul, one of the disciples of God, said. He said, y'all listen up, I'm the worst sinner. And yet God saved me. So one thing's for sure, you can't lie when you write scripture. It's infallible. So one thing had to be true. Paul had to be a pretty bad sinner. And guess what? You and I aren't the worst, but we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Number two, sin separates us from God. Sin is literally a division. I love the way the contemporary English version makes Isaiah 59. It says, your sins are the, read that word, roadblock. Your sins are the roadblock between you and your God. Anybody ever hit an unexpected roadblock before? Come on, jams you up. I'm the only one. Come on. It jams you up. You hit a roadblock. You go, what's going on here? I remember near the Fruitland Walmart when they shut down that bridge on that back road. I don't know what that road is, but if you've hit that roadblock before, you're like, I can't even get to Walmart. My whole world's changed. My life's over. I got to go all the way around. This detour is going to take 15 minutes, right? Much worse is that our sins are a permanent roadblock between us and God. Many are running into this roadblock wondering, why does God feel so distant? Because sin separates us from God. The Bay Bridge closed about 3 weeks ago, and we had something planned on the other side of the bridge. Jacked up all of our plans, right? Listen, you don't need to run into any roadblocks between you and God. We're talking eternity of heaven or eternity of hell. We got to know about the roadblocks. Number two, I'm sorry, that's number two. Number three, the penalty of sin is death, right? Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. We like to blame it on God. Why would a good God send people he loves to hell? Listen, you earned your way to hell. For your wages, for your sin, is death. This is not what God wants for us. He wants to remove the roadblock. I'll illustrate in just a moment. But it says that our wages of sin is death. In other words, Satan's saying, you ate the apple off of my apple cart and no one gets away with it. Come on. This isn't Aladdin or The Greatest Showman where some poor kid grabs an apple off the apple cart and gets away with it. Satan says, I know every apple you've taken off the apple cart. Adam and Eve took the fruit, and forever sin caused the divide between God and mankind. And the same thing's true for us today. Satan knows the apples, and he says this, your payment is not just $1.50. Your payment is your life. And you cannot sneak this one by, Satan. You are not cunning enough to deceive the deceiver. Satan is aware. Two people are aware every time we sin. You can fool the pastor. You can fool your spouse. You can fool your family members. You can fool your friends and your roommates. But two people you will never deceive is Satan, who says, you owe me. You owe me. And it's a life for that. And God, who is grieved by it and wants to restore you to himself. Romans 6:23 starts with, for the wages of sin is death, but it finishes with, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Say that word with me. Through. The eternal life, say that word with me. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, I'm a visual learner. I learn things better by illustration. So I'm going to ask my friend Randy to join me up here. Randy's one of our members of our dream team. Y'all give it up for Randy, who's going to come up here. And I just want to illustrate what this scripture is saying to us, what the Bible is saying. Randy is going to illustrate God. He is our Father, the one we're trying to connect with. And I'm going to represent you and me, right? We're just people. And the Bible says that in the beginning of time, that Adam and Eve were tight with God. It said they communed in the day. Oh, tripping me up, Daddy. I like that. Come on right here. Woo! Oh, come on. And see, there's, oh, look at that. It's like, oh, the object is way up. And the Bible says that this is the type of relationship we had. Dapping it up, man. Come on. Yeah, yeah. All right. Come on. We're going to work on that handshake, right? We're tight with God, But the Bible says that as soon as sin entered, as soon as we went away from his plans, the Bible says that sin entered as a divide. Go ahead and bring that up here as fast as you can, Pastor JT. See, because we oftentimes think sin, we can just continue to sin and kick it with God. Come on, I go and sin and just, hey, God, you didn't see that. Whoops, and we deal with that. But the Bible literally says that sin comes in and it is a division. It is a roadblock to God. So God's going to step back where he was just a moment ago. Go ahead, God, back to where you were when you were hanging out back here. And we try to sin and then turn around and go, hey, God, kick it. What, God? Are you there, God? You were there before. How about we tap it up? Come on. Where we at, God? It's literally my lying, slandering, adultering, rude, substance-abusing sin that has caused a roadblock between me and God. And so we could try all we want to. Come on, God. Where are you at? God, why does it feel like I come near you in church and yet I don't feel anything? And I'm trying to connect with you like I used to, and it doesn't seem to work like it used to. Well, the Bible says this, that God our Father knew there was no way for me to get back to the Father. In all of my efforts, in all of my doings, in all of my, God, where are you at? I couldn't make it to him. I'm gonna need that. Jeff, do you mind giving me that tennis ball that I let get away from me? Listen, the Bible says that we are separated because of our sin. Now, God knew we couldn't do anything about it, so God called his son over. Go ahead, my friend. Thank you, Jeff. Go ahead, God, and call your son over. This is Jordy, one of our keyboard players, happened to be Randy's son. Go ahead. Come on. We're keeping the metaphor 100 the whole way around, right? And so God has some words with his son saying, there's no way for man to get past their sin back to me, but I've got an idea. How about you go and live amongst them? So Jesus enters the scene. Come on, Jesus, get on up here. This Jesus comes, and the Bible says they named him Emmanuel, which is the words God with us. God left his side, his holy side, to come on the ugly side. You look on the other side of this board, there's no disdain, there's no ugliness, but it's on our side, it's on man's side that we've got issues. And so Jesus says, what you're doing to try to connect is not working. You're never going to get there. You're trying religion. You're praying really hard. You're trying to talk to all the right people, but it's not working. And Jesus comes and taps and says, give me your efforts. I've got something different. And he takes the ball. Oh, go again. It worked in the first experience. There it is. There we go. Good thing we had a net. Thank you so much. Give it up for Jesus. The Bible says that you could take that net down. I just need the ball. The Bible says that Jesus came and did what you and I could never do by taking and exchanging his own life. I even wrote Jesus on this ball. And he took a shot at sin when he was crucified on the cross. And the Bible says this about Jesus in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Jesus said, enter through to God, enter through the narrow gate. You see how small this hole is? It's not that big. You're like, Pastor Drew, if I want to get to heaven, I want it to be broad. Well, Scripture says broad is the way to hell that leads to hell, and there are many who enter through it, but the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are very few people who find it. People are trying hard to get there all these other ways because it can't be Jesus and only Jesus. What about this religion? What about this do-goodism? What about this? What about this? And if we would just go through Jesus, we could connect again. We could have one of those pictures like God connecting with man, you know, that creation picture. Come on, Randy and I, in just like togas and touching each other through the... We can connect again. But it's a connection that's only through Jesus, right? Scripture says this in Romans 3. Since we've compiled this long and very sorry record as sinners, and prove that we are utterly incapable of living glorious lives God wills for us. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, see, you're not the only one who screwed it up. We are all utterly incapable of living the glorious life God wills for us. So God did it for us. Jesus came out of heaven, entered our world of messiness and ugliness, things that a holy person should not experience, and yet took an attack on it, and he made a narrow way to heaven, that by his name and only through his name that you can have life. Look at this. John 10:9 says, this is Jesus talking, I am the door. I am the way. I am the path to life. He says, those who come in, so what's that word? Through. Those who come in through me will be saved. Wherever they go, they will find green pastures. There's green pastures on the other side. There's heaven on that other side. There's hell on this side. And God didn't intend anyone to go to hell, but he intended everybody to have life through Jesus Christ. It's only by what he did on the cross that he took a shot once and for all for every sin you've ever committed, and he made a way, he paved a way back to the Father so that we can dap it up again. Hell is a place with eternal separation from God. This is no small matter to consider, that no one should ever experience this kind of separation ever again. I can remember being raised in Catholic Church, I never knew if I was close enough to God. If you asked me, am I going to heaven? I would just say, I think so. And so I used to literally go to confession where I'd sit this close to a priest on the other side. It's just like, I did some stuff. You in there? I don't really want to talk about it, but I'm told I have to talk about it. And yeah, I did that stuff. And they tell me, go like pray 3 rosaries and you'll be good. And I'm like, okay. And people say, did I feel better? I don't know. I think he told me so, but he only told me 3 rosaries this time. This time I did much worse sins, but last time I had to pray 5 rosaries. I don't really get the penance structure, but I'm trying to connect, but I'm not really connecting. Here's what God says. We can now connect through Jesus Christ to the Father, not to man, not to any other pastor or priest. He says, those who come through me will be saved. 1 Peter 3:18 says this, for Christ the Messiah himself died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, the innocent for the guilty, so that he might bring us to God. Don't waste the blood. Don't waste the life. It's not just history. It is an attack on sin. It is an attack on Satan. And he has paved a way that by his name and no other name, he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Through me. We've got to stop trying to go through good, do-goodism, church attendance. I did community service hours. I signed up to be, you know, a school mom. Isn't that awesome? I made sandwiches for the other kids. That's all fantastic. But there is no way to be right with God except through Jesus Christ. So what must I do to be saved? In the book of John, Nicodemus was a very religious man. He was an elder of the Jewish synagogue. He was high up and highly esteemed. And yet Nicodemus came to Jesus at night in John chapter 3. And he said this, you've got to be like a prophet or something better than that. Because some of the things you've taught are just incredible. And they're right on and they're spot on. But through all my religion, through every ordinance we've made, through every board decision we've made, how do I know if I'm right with God? Isn't that interesting that you could spend a lifetime being a leader in a religious situation and still notice there's something about Jesus that completes the whole puzzle? And he comes to Jesus and he says, how can a person be right with God. In John 3:3, Jesus responds, unless one is born again. In other words, unless one starts over, has a new beginning, has a change of heart, unless one changes and turns, one cannot see the kingdom of heaven. What must I do to be saved? Number one is this: you got to believe. You got to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So much so that it starts everything over again. I remember the day at 20 years old in the year 2002 in the month of August that I realized Jesus died for my sins. And it was that day that I said, I want to start again with this being my core belief, that Jesus is my Lord and Savior who died to set me free of all my past mistakes. He has washed me away my sins, and I will live forevermore to worship him. I'm going to follow him. The Bible says that we've got to trust in him for this. Romans 10:9 says that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and say that word with me, believe. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 11, as scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Number one, we have to believe God is he's not just an ordinary person. He's not just normal. He's not just for the history books. Jesus was the Son of God who came to save and seek the lost. We can never become right with God through religion or righteous acts. That's why I love, in the year 1517, a man named Martin Luther stirred up what we now call the Protestant Reformation, because he was studying to become a priest so that he could be right with God. He had devoted his life to God, but he learned all these different practices and things he had to do, crawl up steps until his knees bleed, and then maybe you can bust your grandparent out of purgatory and these weird teachings. And so he finally came across a scripture that changed his life forever, Ephesians 2:8, that says God saved you by his grace when you believed. Not when you attended Lift Church, not when you did something amazing for the city, not when you loved on somebody who's unlovable. He says God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast that you earned it. See, Jesus gives us a free gift, and he says, how can I get to heaven? Can I throw my balls too? He says, no, yours won't go through, but you can believe, and you can follow me. We can't just stop at believing and say, well, I believe him, but it hasn't changed anything. Number two, we have to be different. Scripture tells us that we literally should repent. In other words, turn from the way we were going and live a different God-centered life. Acts 3:19 says, repent therefore, and what's that word? Turn. You've got to turn from some of the things you've been doing. You can't just say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. Can you do that? Yes, but you're abusing the grace of God. I heard one pastor friend of mine say, if you punched me in the face and then apologized for it, and then you punched me again, I don't want you to apologize for it again. I want you to stop punching me in the face. Right? And that's what a lot of us do. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. And we just keep living for these various lies and things that we've been doing, these different things that we have been holding on to, sins in our lives. And God's saying, you're never, that's not going to get you to the Father when you go through substance abuse. It doesn't get you through the Father to go through unforgiveness or to go through lying or to go through anger. Oh, that'll fix them. No. You're not going to get to the Father. It's only through him. He says, repent and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. You know what I love about that is when we think about all the things we've done wrong, sometimes I think that God's got a dry erase board and he kept it all, right? Anybody else thought that God, our Father, was just angry about things? Like, I did that one too, writing that one down too. Your name's on the board, little Drew. Come on, I got my name on the board a lot as a kid, right? You know what I'm talking about? Here's the thing. When you go through Jesus, let me show you what's on the other side. Clean. clean, fresh new start. You are a new person. The old is gone. The new has come. For I remember your sins against you no longer. This is God's view. What of it? I just see you coming through the way Jesus paid for you. What are we talking about? Satan keeps talking about the other side, but what are we talking about? Because as I look on your heart, this is what I see. I let you start over. So tell him to booger off. Tell the Satan right now, booger off. Go ahead, say it. Number three, we don't just have a one and done prayer where we believe and we're different. We are number three, we're made new. Nicodemus came and he literally said, what must I do? And God said this, be born again. In other words, you used to live your way about your emotions, about your wants, about your ambitions, about your career goals, about your relationship goals, about your posts, about your stuff, about your money, about your. And God says that we're no longer living for ourselves, for we are surrendering that. We're making a 180 degree turn where we're going to walk towards God, where it is now all about him. It is about what he wants for me. It's about me knowing God, finding freedom, making a difference, and discovering my purpose. It's about what he has called me to do. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. Come on. When I hear the old is gone, think about that annoying, frustrating neighbor that you wish would move out. Come on. They live in your area or they're down the road and they're always making noise. I wish they'd just leave. We've had a few noisy neighbors before. Well, when they pack up the U-Haul and they're gone, guess what? The old is gone. The new has come. Life. No more strife. In Jesus' name, a new life has begun. So I close with this. 1 Peter 2:21, as the band joins me. Jesus is your example, and you must follow in his steps. Let me read that one more time to you. 1 Peter 2:21, Jesus is your example, and you must follow in his steps. Someone say must. You can't go any other way except through Jesus. There is no other way. The path to hell is broad, and you can get there many different ways. But there is no other way except through Jesus. You must follow in Jesus' steps. Do you know when the word Christian was first originated? We find it in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts says that the people used it to insult followers of Jesus. And they called them Christians, which literally means followers of the way. These are people who are following in Jesus' footsteps. They've given up on all other ways, and they trust in Jesus alone. I want you to examine your heart with the remainder of our time, and I want you to just ask yourself a simple question. Are you following Jesus? I'm not talking about a Sunday morning church thing. I'm talking about a Sunday through Saturday and a continual following. I'm talking about a following Jesus in your relationship towards your spouse, towards your relationship with a significant other, towards your relationship with your kids. I'm talking about following Jesus when your coworkers have done wrong by you, when your boss has done wrong. I'm talking about following Jesus when you're on the athletic field and nothing's going right. I'm talking about following Jesus when you shank a shot or when you make a shot. Are you following Jesus? There are so many other things you can follow, and there are so many different ways, but the Bible says that those ways are the pathway to hell. God doesn't want to scare you with hell. He didn't create hell for you. He created hell for Satan and all of his minions. But he created heaven for you and I to be with him forever. There's just only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus. Are you following him? Because nothing else will work. Some of you have been running into dead ends, feel like God is distant. Like your prayers aren't being heard. God's 40 million miles up in the sky. He's the big man upstairs and hasn't talked with me in a long time. Here's my question. Are you following Jesus? Because if you do, the Bible says that you will have a pathway to life. And if you draw near to God, he draws near to you. It's a promise he always keeps. If you're in this place and you feel like that's you, we've been praying for you all week long that you would say, today's the day that I start a relationship with God. I want to know him. I want to let him know me, and I want to follow him. And most importantly, I want to start over. I want to turn this old way around. I want to leave all this behind, and I want to choose to go Jesus's way. If you feel the Holy Spirit moving on your life right now, it might feel like everything inside you is just butterflies. It's not butterflies. It's God trying to speak to you. Today's your day. You can be forgiven and set free. If that's you in this place,